All right. Hey, come on. Let's give God some praise today. Lift him up. He's awesome. He's worthy. So good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Give five people a high five, and then you can take your seat, because I know you guys love your high fives. Count them, count them. Amazing. You guys are brilliant. You guys are awesome. Let's give the band and the musicians a round of applause. Hey, it is really good to be with you today. And thanks to Pastor Ed and Michelle for the invite, for this opportunity to serve and to share with you. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you thought, how on earth am I coming back from this? Can anyone relate to that? Was it a time or a season? Maybe you're in a season right now where you're thinking, how am I going to come back from that? How is this going to turn out? How is this going to come good? How is God going to actually turn this thing around? I'm sure in this place, in this room, there are testimonies. You know, if you've come to know Jesus, then you will have known him work in your life. Often we come to Christ in a season of trouble or a dark season or a heavy season, and we find God do miracles. But the miracles he wants to do in your life don't just stop at the point of salvation. It's not like, hey, you had a good turnaround then. They're in every season of life, even when you come up against stuff where you're thinking, how am I going to come back from this? God still has a miracle, still has an exit route, still has a breakthrough for your life. And one of the things that I've appreciated about Valley Church over the last couple of years, do you remember COVID? Do you remember COVID, that thing? Do you remember that thing that happened? It felt like it was going to last forever. When you were in it, it felt like COVID is our lives now. But then now we're in this sort of point where you think, oh yeah, there was COVID. Somebody I know got COVID this week for the first time. I was like, how did they manage that? But it changed our lives, disrupted our lives, and threatened in the face of, you know, the information we were getting. It was like, nothing's going to go back to good times. You know, remember the good times, you'll never see them again. It's what it felt like. But even in that season, when we were going through all that kind of stuff and different things were happening in our lives and in our church, to be able to come over, for me, I'm just like, who do I know? You know, who do I know? Where can I go outside of my immediate situation? And I know I'm going to be in a great environment with great people. And that was to come here. So I snuck in a few times over the last couple of years and just came into the service, didn't come to speak, just came to be here, to worship with you guys, to hang out with Ed and Michelle and Dave as well. And I just want to thank you for that in that season, just being able to come in, sit, be, absorb something of what is going on amongst you. Because amongst you, there is that same God who turns things around when they look like they are at an end. That's what this house has. And I want to believe with you, whatever you're facing right now, whatever your season actually looks like, that there is a way through. Because we're in church, let's call it this. There is a resurrection for your life, for this season, whatever it is, and you're going, I don't know about this one, Dave. I know God has something for you. And I loved hearing some of those testimonies, those like answered prayers this week. Last year, me and Lisa took a sabbatical 3 months in over the summer. And we came back from that. One of our close friends had, in the time that we had been off, had been diagnosed with lymphoma. And you know, that's a dark time. That's hard news to receive. And the good news is, this last week just got the text message saying, I am in complete remission. And I think, you know, but when you start that season, you know, no matter how, you know, you think, yeah, God can do it, you still got to go through it. you know? And God is with you in the going through, whatever you're going through right now. God does see the end. He does see the resurrection. He does see you coming through. I'm going to go to John chapter 11. And many of you know this. It's a story of Lazarus. And we'll get into it. If you're not familiar with it, I'll fill you in as we go. But John chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 1 to 4 to start with. It says, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. I love that John's saying, it's those guys. You know these guys? This is them. It's that family. It's Lazarus of that family who was ill. So the sisters sent to Jesus saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Now, he didn't just, you know, have a tickly cough. It wasn't, you know, just a bit of a migraine. He's like, this is ill. This is serious. This is tough. We are not sure. Or we are not confident of the outcome. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Wow. What a declaration to make over that information. Oh, I don't know what declaration you're making over your information right now, but Jesus had something very specific and very positive and very hope-filled to say immediately as he received that news. I must confess, when I receive bad news, I don't immediately say, this is for the glory of God. It's not my first reaction, so don't feel bad. But God's first reaction over it is something much more positive. Even if you haven't got a positive statement in your heart, he already has. He's backing you up from day one. So this is the story of Lazarus. And if you don't know it, I don't know if you like spoilers. If you like, you know, the new movie's coming out, I like to avoid the spoilers as much as I can. But some of you might like the spoiler. I'll need to know what's going to happen before I see the movie. Some trailers today show the end of the movie before you've seen the beginning of the movie. But there you go. This is a story of Lazarus. And spoiler alert, even after receiving that news and Jesus making that proclamation, Lazarus dies. Spoiler alert. Lazarus dies. That's crazy to me because Jesus just said this won't lead to death. I'm like, Jesus, that sounds to me, and in the process, that looks like a promise that's failed. I don't know if you've got any of those lingering around in your life or in your current circumstances. But second spoiler alert, show you the end of the movie, Jesus causes Lazarus to be resurrected. So even then, it looks like it's failed. And even what you said, Jesus, has failed. Still, there was more that God had to do. Still, there's more that God has to do. Tell the person next to you, there is more that God has to do in your life. You know, and the whole story ends with him saying, Lazarus, come out. You know, but it's a process to that point. If you do not know me, some of you know me, so some of you know my story, but when I'm in amongst people that don't know me so well, it's good. I can bring out the old stories and not think everybody's going to be like, oh, we know, Dave. We know. There's a few people in this room. They're like, yeah, we know, Dave. But anyway, when I became a Christian, in the 3 years before that, I'd been diagnosed with a blood disorder called aplastic anemia. And it's before I became a Christian. And the proclamation over my life from doctors says, this is going to take you out. Eventually, this is going to be the thing. This is without certain treatments working, which they didn't, you're not going to live very long. In fact, my best friend's mum, or the lad who'd been my best friend at primary school, his mum died of the same illness 6 years before I developed it. And aplastic anemia is not, you probably don't know a whole load of people who've had aplastic anemia specifically, because it's kind of rare. So it was kind of one of those things like, oh gosh, I know somebody who died a few years ago of that illness. And the proclamation was that this is not, long-term is not, this is not going to go well for you. spoiler alert, I'm stood here, do you know? But I met with Jesus in the, well, someone told me about him, told me about the reality of him, told me about his power, told me about that he heals. And after a prayer, there wasn't a nice, neat prayer at the end of the service, like what we'll probably do at the end of this service. It was me on my bathroom floor crying, God, help me. That was my surrender moment. And then being in a hospital room a week later, having a drug treatment that I had a big reaction to. And in the middle of that, just saying, God, are you really there for me? And feeling like I had no reference for it, but feeling the presence of God in the room, or what I could only imagine was the presence of God. And into my heart, just these words, David, trust me, you're going to be okay. And let me tell you, you can't just start believing something, can you? You can't just go, I'm going to believe it. But in that moment, it was like, you couldn't change my mind. From there, up until that moment, and up until that day and that second, I'm like, nah, this is going to be bad. Every time you see the doctor, it's going to be bad news. I'm going to lose my eyesight. I'm going to lose this. I'm going to eventually die, etc. From that moment, I was like, the next morning when my mom came into the hospital, I'm like, yeah, I've become a Christian. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. And you couldn't change my mind. And after that, I had one more round of blood transfusions after that point. And I was living on blood transfusions. I needed them every 6 weeks or so to survive, because I was not producing my own blood to the capacity that I should by any stretch of the imagination. I had like, and my worst, I had like, my platelet count was like 6. Supposed to be like 120. That's like a lot of very few platelets running around your body trying to stop you from bleeding. My immune system was completely shot, gone. But you can see me here. I'm not making it up. You know, God does stuff even in the darkest of your days. So if you're thinking, I need a resurrection, I need something, I want to tell you that God has something more to do. It doesn't have to be as out there as that. It could just be like things have fallen apart around your career. Things have fallen apart relationally. Things you're struggling, you know, even to, you know, with to have children or whatever it is, in the midst of stuff that is very, very real. God wants to meet you there and bring you through. He's not finished. It's not done. It's not over. So I want to give you three things to remember and three things that you've got to do. Three things to remember, three things you've got to do from this story. And the first thing I want you to remember that the sickness of your situation is not an indicator of his feelings towards you. The sickness of your situation is not an indicator of his feelings towards you. Verse 3, it's just said that. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. He whom you love is ill. I don't know if you've ever, if you go down this track in your thinking, but sometimes we can think, if things are not going well for me, if things aren't working out, if things have turned upside down, this is a sign of God's displeasure in my life. It's like, I must be stuffing up. God must be displeased with me. Otherwise, I'd be flowing in the blessing. It would all be good. And we look at ourselves and think, God must be, he must be really upset with me or angry with me, or I'm failing, or I'm such a failure that God can't bless me or use me or fix me or whatever it is. It is not an indicator of his feelings towards you if things have gone pear-shaped in your life and in your world in any way. I want you to know, you know, that like, just like it said, he whom you love is ill, just put your name in there. You know, if there's a sick situation, it's like, see yourself, you know, Dave, whom you love is in a sick situation here. And I don't mean sick like the kids today mean sick, like it's good. All right. Hey, it's a sick situation. I don't know. Is that all right? You know, put your name in there, whom he loves. God, you love me. You love me. This is nothing to do with whether or not you love me or if you're happy with me or whatever. You know, sometimes our decisions have landed us somewhere and sometimes life has just happened. But I want you to know, in whatever you're in, he loves you. He loves you. And I'm jumping ahead in the story to then to come back, but I couldn't finish this thought without this bit of scripture, John 11:33-36, when Jesus saw her weeping and he saw the Jews who had come with her also weeping. He didn't say, oh, stop it, I'm gonna do a miracle. He said, well, you weep, shut up. You know, I'm here, get a grip. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. He wept with them, joined them in the weeping over the situation. He knew what's about to happen, but he joined them. That's the heart of God. Joined them in the moment, joined them in the weeping. And it was also an expression of his own feelings. He wasn't just, oh, you guys are so sad. Sometimes you feel, you just take on other people's emotions. You're like, oh, you're so sad, I'm sad. But it was an expression of his own care and love as well. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember as well that he's not stretched by or stressed out about your situation. God's not stretched by it and he's not stressed out about it. Verse 6, back to before that moment, it says, when he'd heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Well, he really wasn't stretched or stressed out about it, was he? He's just heard about this situation. What does he do? So he stays where he was 2 more days. Now, I've been a pastor like a good deal of time now, and I've dealt with all kinds of situations. Even the phone call in the middle of the night that wakes you up with somebody going, Dave, my wife is in hospital and I think she's dying. Now, I don't know what his reaction would have been if I said, fair enough, I'll just finish this sleep and I'll see you tomorrow sometime. Or, okay, I'm just gonna chill here for 2 more days. It doesn't seem even like there's a sense of urgency in Jesus in this moment. But he knows more than we know, but he is not stretched by or stressed out about our lives and about our situations. Now, there might be some mathematicians in the room, but I looked at this and thought, Lazarus, when he got and arrived with Lazarus, right? Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus took 2 days before he moved. I'm like, well, 4 minus 2 still leaves you with 2. I'm like, does that mean that Jesus, even if you'd left then, still too late? Even if you moved then, God, it's still too late. Even if he'd moved then, set out, he'd still arrived. Lazarus is dead 2 days. I'm like, gosh, God, that is crazy. Certainly says to me, maybe I need to chill a little bit more over my life and over stuff. Because how often are we waiting for God to turn up, say, God, now would be good, now would be good. Well, yesterday would have been great. We're waiting. But just even this, I've realized that just because it's over does not mean that you are finished. Because there are some things you're thinking, well, Dave, that would have been great if something had happened 4 weeks ago. That would have been great if something had happened 2 years ago. But the revelation that God has for us is even when it's over, you're not finished, right? Because there are some things in our life, we want them to turn around in a certain way, and maybe they will, and maybe they won't. But even if it's over, you're not finished. There are some situations you thought, because that's not working, it's not gonna work for me. Because that's not gone right, I'm done. But you are not done. You are not finished. Even if it's over, you're not finished. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every sick situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Keep doing that. Another thing to remember is that something else is going on. Something else is going on. When Jesus heard that, he said, this illness does not lead to death. There in verse 4, it's for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. We've talked about that, so I won't linger too long on it. Also, God doesn't just say to us, I'm going to put you through some pain so I can look good at the end, you know? You're thinking, well, it would be great if there were, I wasn't going through this at all. But the glory of God is this, not that you go through pain so God can look good at the end, but the glory of God is this, that you can come back from the worst of your days. That's the glory of God. It's not like, look how great I am. God's going to look how great I am. Lord, I can give you this terrible stuff and then I'll look good at the end. No, the glory of God is in this, that he can help you, enable you to come back from the worst of your days. You remember Romans 8:28. I don't think I gave it to the guys at the back, but it just reminds us that God causes all things to work together. He doesn't say all things are good, but he takes all the things, makes them somehow work together for the good of those that are called according to his purpose, to do something in us, to shape us, to help us know him better, help us become the people God has called us to be. So remember, the sickness of your situation is not an indicator of his feelings towards you, that he is not stretched or stressed out about your situation and that something else is going on. Tell the person next to you, something else is going on. And so three things you gotta do, gotta, spelled G-O-T-T-A, three things you gotta do. First of all, you've gotta go back there. You've gotta go back there. I'll use a scripture to explain what I mean. So Jesus said, I'm gonna stay 2 days, even though I've got this information. But then he says this in verse 7 and 8. After this, he says to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you and you're going to go there again. You know, Jesus, why can't you just send a word? Do we have to go there to do this? You know, Jesus thinking, I'm going to go and Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. But they're saying, God, if we go back there, there was the guys that are trying to kill us. We don't want to go there. But I want to ask you, what is standing between you and your new day? What is standing between you and your resurrection? What is standing between you and the breakthrough or the new version of your life? Because I've realized before we can move on, there's often things that we need to face that we actually need to go back to. It's great to have a sense of God's gonna do something, pow. Yeah, this is gonna be exciting. But you realize to actually get there, I'm gonna have to go back to some things. Not to live there, not to rest there, but to maybe face some things that we'd like to avoid. There might be some things to grieve. There might be some things to process. There might be some things to get sorted. There might be some things to talk about. You know, I don't know if you remember that clip from Friends. I don't know how ancient this reference is, but there you go, I'm old. But like, there's this moment where someone's asking Ross, how's Ross doing? I saw it come up on my like Instagram feed not that long ago. So anyway, and he's like, how are you? And he's just like, I'm fine. Why am I talking so high? Or maybe that's how you are when you're like, I'm fine. But you're not fine. You're not fine. I'm in faith. You're not. You got to face some things. Pete Scazzaro is one of my favorite authors I've read over the last couple of years and talks about emotionally healthy discipleship. And he says this, he says that losses that are not grieved accumulate in our soul like heavy stones that weigh us down. When we fail to attend to them, they prevent us from living freely and honestly with God and with others. So there are things to remember, but there are things to do. And maybe going back there in a healthy way to process some things is what we need to do. Not just believe God for a turnaround, but think, God, what am I carrying with me that I need to process with you? There's some famous verses in Matthew 7. Where Jesus says about, you know, why are you looking at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and not looking at the plank in your own? You've got to deal with that stuff first before you can be effective in making disciples. You've got to deal with some stuff. See, I want to be an influence. I want to change my world, but maybe in some areas I've not allowed God to change me. Maybe I want to enter a new season, but I've not dealt with the last season. You know, maybe there are some things you think I've got to deal with from the last season, from where things didn't work out, from the stuff that I'm carrying. It's part of your process towards your resurrection. Secondly, you've got to open yourself to the possibility. Like you say, you're looking at things and thinking, this is sick, is this impossible? I don't know. You've got to open yourself to the possibility. It says in verse 21 that Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." In fact, before that, when Mary says those same words, she stops there. Said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died, but you weren't, so he did. If you'd been around God, but Martha doesn't stop there. She says, but even now, and we all need an but even now in our spirit and in our hearts, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, Jesus, God will give to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She'd open herself to the possibility. Martha said, well, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And she said to her, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And I see in that just a journey for Martha, a process of opening herself, said, well, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. But even now, I know you could do something. And then he says what he's going to do. She says, yeah, I know that eventually in the resurrection. And he's saying, no, now. You know, but she's on this journey of allowing herself to open up to the possibility of something else. And I want you to open yourself up. I want you to have in your heart, even if things seem really dark, impossible, that you say, but even now, you might even be saying, God, if you'd been faithful, this wouldn't have happened. Why did you let that? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you allow me to avoid that? But to have in your heart and your spirit, but even now, God, I know you can do something. Even now, God. Is there an even now in your heart? Three things that will kill that: a cynicism, it never works out for me, I've tried. Bitterness, they messed things up for me. Resignation, it's too late for me. But an even now spirit will enable you to overcome the cynicism, the bitterness, the resignation, because he's the resurrection and the life. Last thing, and if the guys are keyboarding or whatever, then that'd be awesome. Last thing you've got to do, you've got to answer the right questions. Sometimes in dealing with people and dealing with stuff in our lives, We're answering questions, but maybe not the main question that will solve the issue. Here's the thing that Jesus said to her in verse 25 to 26. He says this, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. These are big statements. But he just says, do you believe this? He's getting her to the main question. It's getting her to the real question that's going to make a difference about what she receives in her life. It's the one we need to answer. We are asking ourselves a lot of questions. We're asking ourselves a lot of questions in our situations. We're asking ourselves things like, am I a failure? Am I worthy? Am I good enough? Am I clever enough? Am I needed? We're asking a lot of questions, but we need to answer the question of this is, do you believe who Jesus says he is right now? That is the defining question for how you navigate this season and come through it. Do you believe? Whatever you believe about yourself and the circumstances, the questions that you're asking there, the question that you really need to ask and answer is, do you believe who Jesus says he is right now? Because all your identity questions flow out of who you believe he is. All your answers to your circumstances flow out of your answer to who you believe he really is. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Romans 6 verse 4 says, we were buried with Jesus by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So whatever you have to step into in the future is not based upon your merits, your achievements, your failures, your failings. It's not just based on those things. It's based on the fact that even within you, it's not just about God doing something out there, changing circumstances, although he does that. The real thing that God wants to do is on in here. Just point back to yourself. This is where God wants to do something in this season of my life. Because Christ is not out there doing miracles. He's in here changing you, reminding you he loves you. He died for you. He's doing something in you. And something will unfold. Let's stand together, shall we? Because maybe it is just like with Lazarus, Jesus stood there and said, now, come on. Come out. Come out from the darkness. And maybe the situation isn't going to immediately change in your life. But maybe rather than waiting for everything to change, maybe even in your spirit, it's kind of sometimes we leave the darkness in our spirit first. We leave the pain in our spirit first. Doesn't mean I suddenly feel all happy about everything, but something in us says, Jesus, you're leading me. You're leading me forward. You're leading me out. Why don't you just close your eyes right now and just bring to him whatever has come to the forefront of your mind while I've been talking, whatever situation, circumstance, emotion, whatever it is, just bring it to him right now. And we're not going to stir it up for a few moments. I'm going to leave you 60 seconds of silence, apart from the keys, because it just helps set the tone. But it's going to leave you 60 seconds to bring that to God, and just even to allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to minister into your spirit with his hope, with his assurance, with his love. I'm just going to leave you 60 seconds, starting now. Situation that is on our hearts. Lord, I want to thank you like you wept with the family and the people. Lord, your love goes out to us and is present with us. You're not telling us just to get over it, but you're meeting us in the midst of it. Lord, not just to shout to us from a distance, but actually to meet us with your resurrection power and your love and your life. And I pray over all of our lives that whatever we're facing and dealing with, Lord God, the light of your spirit and the light of hope, Lord God, would cause us to face today and to face tomorrow with a sense that we're not finished, because you are not yet finished with what you have for us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Why don't you give God some praise? I'll hand back to Pastor Ann. Awesome.